Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee once again that thou hast gathered us, that we might come to this time of prayer meeting, to seek thy face at thy throne of grace, to look unto thee, the God of our salvation, the King of our life, and to be satisfied in thy presence, wherein there is fullness of joy. So as we supplicate for the saints, as we pray and request for thy church, may thou hear us, O thou King of heaven, and incline thy ear unto us, that we may glorify thee in all that we do. So help us now, and may thy word come forth with power in our hearts as we think upon these words, to eat and drink all unto thy glory. These guys can pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The title of it is Glorifying God in All That You Do. Glorifying God in All That You Do. So I'll read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So in this epistle to the Corinthians, Paul was speaking to these Christians in Christ who were going through many struggles during their ministry. Corinth was a commercial city during that time, filled with great fornication and prostitution. There were many temples that were built within. Paul had spent three times, he had went to Corinth three times during his missionary journey. And on one of it, he spent more than a year in their midst. And as he said himself, he had great tears for them, agonizing with them. And so when he wrote this epistle to them, there were great problems in the church. There were divisions, immorality, marital problems, and some of them were abusing their freedoms in the Lord. So in this chapter, chapter 10, especially in the later portion of it, Paul touches on the Christian liberty in terms of eating what is sacrificed to idols. Because we know that these idols are not real. They are not real gods, and thus they cannot do anything to us. And that is why some of the Corinthian believers, those that knew this, were actually eating food offered to idols. Though we have Christians have liberty to do so, yet we must not do so if it harms the conscience of a brother. And this is what Paul was arguing in verse 23 to 33. And so he goes on in verse 31 to lay out the fundamental principle of godliness, of practical godliness. Because not everything that we do in life is given as a command in the Word of God or forbidden in the Word of God, such as eating this sort of food or going to playing this sort of sport. All these are not written in the Word of God. And so there is a sense there needs to be a practical guideline by which we ought to live our life. And that is in verse 31. And so it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so when he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, he's trying to say that there is no part of your life that is so minute, so small, even eating and drinking, but all of it must be directed to the glory of God. And so there was this ancient proverb that Calvin said, we must not live to eat, but eat to live. We do not eat food for the sake of eating, but we eat so that we might live to a certain purpose. And in this, it is the glory of God. Even the most mundane, routine, non-spiritual things, even in this, we must seek the greatest thing, which is God's honor, the credit of the gospel, and the reputation of religion. And so, even in your life, example in breakfast, if you are eating a kaya toast or drinking coffee, even in this, you might eat to the glory of God. How? If you remember that it is the Lord that has given you strength to eat, you remember that it is the Lord that has given you these taste buds to taste the food and the stomach to churn in intestines to take in the nutrients so that you can, so that the body can use this food for the glory of God in other areas, as like the church, as in the church or in work or at school. And so this, the first thing that we ought to take note, and that it is to do all to the glory of God. The word do here is given by Paul as a command in the Greek. And it's a command that you must continuously do, especially referring to you. And it is to do all meaning with oneness, with singularity, to the glory, to the reputation, to the favorably of God. It is, the word glory there means to think favorably. And it is not thinking favorably of men, but of God. It is to align ourselves to His true and changeless standards, for He changes not. Because it is what God thinks that determines how we ought to think. And so, as Christians, it is not what God can do for us that counts, but what God can do for God, what He seeks to glorify in Himself that matters. And that's why what Christ commands us is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is God's end. And as it is God's end, so it should be our end. Not what we shall eat or drink or be clothed, as Christ said in Matthew 7. So Christian, let us look to ourselves and forget ourselves and live our lives fixed to the glory of God. And so the question needs to be asked, what then is God's glory? I present to you that God's glory is His name. And this, for this, we'll be looking at two passages of Scripture. The first is Psalms chapter 29. Psalms chapter 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So when it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, this means that God deserves the honor of His name. God deserves the honor of His name. This is what the psalmist focuses on. And also in Psalms 148, this passage makes it very clear. 148, verse 11 to 13, when the psalmist is exalting everyone what to do. Kings of the earth, verse 11 to 13, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise what? The name of the Lord. Why? For His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And so, the reason why the psalmist asks us to praise the name of the Lord is because God's name alone is excellent. The word alone there means that He's set above everything else. There is nothing on par with the name of God in terms of glory. And excellence means exaltedness and to be made high. And so in this, you can see that what the psalmist is aiming at is that God's glory is the exaltation of his name. And his name is in reference to his attributes. As we looked before at Exodus chapter 34, we looked before at God telling his names to us in Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And so if you see in verse 5, it says that the Lord proclaimed his name. And so what is his name? His mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, his abundantness in goodness, his truth. All these things are the mercy. All these things are the name of God. And these are his attributes. And these attributes deserve the highest exaltation. The highest exaltation, which is the proper place and honor where it deserves to be. And so it is strange. It is strange that Christians should exalt anything above God's name. And as we sang just now, glory to his name. Why? Because it is at the cross of Christ whereby all of God's attributes are shown. It is his name is most glorified on the cross. And so, besides the excelling of his name, why should we glorify God's name? God's name in its excellence in itself is already reason enough why we should glorify God's name. But what other reasons are there? There are a few. Firstly, is that God glorifies his own name. God glorifies his own name. And this is taken from Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praises to graven images. And so here the Lord says, when he says, I am the Lord, the name of the Lord here is referring to his him being everlasting, unchangeable, and omnipotent. And he will not allow his glory to be given to anyone else, because only he should get the glory for everything he does. For only he deserves glory. And my glory will I not give to another. And so you can see here that God glorifies himself. Also, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9 to 11. Here he is speaking to Israel that was now in captivity in Babylon. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. And so you see here, God repeats himself, for mine own sake. If God would not do it for any other reason, he'll do it for his own sake, that his name might not be polluted. And so you see from this also that it is God's glory that was the end of creation. God's glory was the end of creation. I'll just read to you Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And also, not only was creation for God's glory, but also Israel was created for God's glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Why did God create Israel? And why does he create us? Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. We are created for the glory of God. And the glorifying of God is the glorifying of his name. And so God owns us and made us and delivers us for his name's sake, for himself. Psalms 115. One more verse. Psalms 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. But our God is in the heavens. Only he is there. Only he reigns on the throne in heaven above. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And that's why he of infinite majesty and power reigns above and does whatever he does, how he will, how he likes to do it, whether on this earth or whether in the whole universe. Whether it be in death, in life, injuries, in frailties, these are all by the ordination of God. And that is why Romans 11, 36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. But why does God do so? When you read all these verses, if you put man in the place of it, if it was man there saying, I seek my own glory, if I will not do it for anyone, I'll do it for myself. We would often think that very selfish, very unfair, that someone like that who has been given so much power would do as much. And yet, why is God justified in how he acts, in how he does whatsoever he pleases? It is because of his name. What is his name? Justice. Mercy, loving kindness. All these things are good things. So there's this quote from a Puritan. His majesty's seeking his own glory is not prejudicial to the creature's good, but the very communication of his fullness goes along with it, so that in glorifying himself, he is most beneficial to his own creatures. When God glorifies himself, his creatures are blessed. So that our happiness comes and is at a peak when God glorifies himself. And what great example is there of this? The greatest of all examples is Christ. For if God glorified not his mercy, if God glorified not his name in his mercy in sending Christ for lost sinners, then we would have all died under his wrath and judgment. Oh, then, Christian, learn to glorify God with God. And when you make much of his name, then therein you will find unspeakable joy. Another reason why we should glorify God is because He has created us to glorify Him. Creatures are, as we are created from the fountain of God's immense power and goodness. And so, when we are created, we are from another and for another. We are created by someone. We are not as God is, self-existing. And God speaks things into existence while we can only describe things and see things for what they are. And we often fall short of doing so. And yet, God has granted us this privilege whereby He has made us above the beast of the field. He has made us in His own image, that we might bear a witness to the glory of His name. If you think about it, beasts, when they make their natural sounds, they praise God, for that is the end of their creation. And for men, the sound that we should always be making is in glory to God, because we have been made in His image. And as it is monstrous if you hear a melodious bird start to croak as a raven, so is it very monstrous when you hear men speak and discourse little upon God and His glory. Yet if you look at this day and age, you see that even Christians themselves do not spend their time, their energy, what they say, and their life to the glory of God. And so, what rule can we have for ourselves as we learn this truth that we are created to glorify God? So before you do anything, whether it be working, reading a book, playing a sport, cooking something, are you able to bow your head and ask God to be magnified in what you are about to do? Are you able to say, I'm doing this for the glory of God and not for myself? And yet so often we fall short because we are still in this flesh. Another reason is that not doing so brings a curse upon us. Not doing so, not glorifying God brings a curse upon us. And that is from Malachi chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. If you do not consider by a due and holy manner to glorify the name of God, God shall bring upon you misery upon misery, and what good you have will be poisoned, and you will not even know that you have been cursed. And so how great is this truth? This is why God so hates sin. Because sin is not glorifying God in all that we do. And we thank God that we have been bought with a price. It is because of Christ's precious blood wherein we have been freed from this curse that would have been upon us if He did not save us. When you neither had any strength while you were still an enemy, God commended His love towards you in that Christ died for you. And shall you then dishonor God anymore in continuing to do things that do not please Him, that do not bring glory to Him? Is not it worse now that you have been saved, is not it worse that you should be sinning so much when Christ has made you free, when you have been given such grace and the power of the Spirit in order to live a godly and righteous life? So may you from this learn to glorify God in all that you do because of what Christ has done for you. You may now ask, but how do I glorify God? How do I glorify God? How do I exalt His name? We can meditate on His name. By meditating on the name of God, it stamps a great impression upon our soul. For how do we worship the Lord? It is always in spirit and in truth. And meditation on the name of the Lord, upon His attributes, upon His faithfulness, His love, His mercy, His justice, will show forth itself in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. And especially think upon King Jesus, because it is He in whom God has so magnified His name. It is He in whom God is most glorified. Let your love so unite you to God that you might in one spirit with Him glorify Him. Because if we do not glorify God, we are falling short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does it mean to come short of the glory of God? It means that we fail to exalt God for who He is. We fail to exalt His name. And so, by doing so, we do not fulfill our sole purpose of existing. Why do we exist but to glorify God? Behold God's goodness, that He should commend His love towards us, not by any works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through Jesus Christ. And Christ, and now as Christians, we have power with God. We have the strength of the Spirit which has been given us. God has made us a new creature in Christ. We are a new workmanship so that we might, with power, with the strength of the Lord, which the Lord gives us, glorify Him. So that now, the only reason why you can glorify God, why can you glorify God now? We by nature, cannot glorify God because we are dead in trespasses and sins, because we come short of the glory of God. But in Christ Jesus, having been made a new creature, we can even eat and drink to the glory of God, which we never before could do. And so I urge you to taste the sweet beams of God's love and His excellencies every day in His name. Think of your food as you eat. Think it as a blood-bought gift of Christ, that you can only eat this food because He has granted you mercy. He has not struck you dead by His justice, but He has even granted you mercy in Christ to live for Him. And so I conclude with what the psalmist says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And so, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may this glorious truth stick deep, strong, powerful in our hearts, that we might in all things glorify the name of Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, and thee, O Father, because thou hast sent him. O, make us to daily live for thee, that in whether we eat or we drink, or in whatsoever we do, we might do it to the glory of thy name, O Lord Most High, that we might taste and enjoy thee, for in thee there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So now as we go unto thee in prayer for the saints, may we glorify thee in prayer, asking supplication, trusting in thy loving kindness and tender mercies to answer our request. This ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.